Welcome to a 10-minute game misconduct bubble hockey edition. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
And, you know, we don't have much time to get this podcast up because they're going to hit the ice in a couple hours for game three.
Yeah.
Whoever made the schedule was drunk. Because they've got two back-to-backs if they go to game seven. Mm-hmm. 6 and 7 would be a back-to-back if needed. So, all right, let's just get into the nitty-gritty real quick. I mean, we're going to make it 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to be 10 minutes.
We're not going to blabber. I'm already blabbering. You noticing I'm already blabbering?
All right, we'll get right in. I think this was the most complete game they've played in the playoffs so far.
You know, I'd agree with you, and I think Coach Cooper agreed with you, too. In his postgame, he said, you know, we were happy with what was happening on the ice. You know, it was unfortunate getting that goal called back early.
Well, and before that, the Richie goal really is frustrating. At the time I was driving, so I was listening to Dave and Phil on Sirius XM, you know, and
NHL Network. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't see it. I eventually went back and looked.
Right.
And they're like, he's got it. He's got, where's the whistle? So I go back and look, and yeah, I mean, yeah,
it was stopped for enough time.
He had that covered.
But
so unfortunate. I think, and I kept saying this repeatedly last night to myself, just myself, that if they lose this, this is a heartbreaker.
Oh, yeah.
This, you know, it wasn't game one, and I called it a, you know, learning loss.
Right.
This
and was I was a heartbreaker. Bored. Yeah.
Yeah. This, you couldn't have been bored last night.
No, I was screaming at the television. I'm sure my neighbors were like, what is happening? I'm like, it's just playoffs. No.
I will say that at the time, I can't remember when the overtime goal, I mean, I know it was 4 minutes in, I don't know the actual clock time. But I loudly shouted an expletive and yeah, at the top of my lungs, scared my poor boyfriend because he has no idea what's going on. He doesn't know anything about sports. The dog's free. I mean, I was so loud and I was like, was that loud? And he's like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, sorry. It's Palat though. And he's like, I don't know who that is.
Oh my goodness. We need to get him up to speed.
I tried. Now he did find humor and he did think I did make him watch the Chernak with Marchand in the headlock.
Oh, that made me happy.
And he thought that was pretty cool. He thought that was funny. And he pointed something out as a non, you know, sports person. He said, that guy looks so scared with that big dude like that. What happened the second that they broke it up? Marchand starts bat at Chernak.
Flapping and I'm his like, jaw.
See, that's what he does. So I am happy to see that Marchand went back to being the, you know.
Flapping his jaw a little bit.
Yeah. It made me feel right with the world.
That's great. But can we please move him away from the front of the net or the side of the net? You got burned on it twice, guys. Twice.
Yeah.
Two times. One time. Okay. Two times. Not a mistake anymore. Get him out of there. Like.
And the second goal is the one where Chernak actually moved away from him.
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh.
Yep.
And I literally said, uh-oh.
You cannot leave him open. I can't believe I'm doing this. But the wherewithal of Brad Marchand to like first position his feet, that's what we call it in ballet, to like kind of redirect that puck. I got to give that to him. I mean, that's a heads up play.
No, yeah, he's a good hockey player.
He's just annoying.
This is a pain in the butt. I'm so happy for Blake Coleman. Would have loved for him to get a hat trick.
Oh, I would have too. But I mean, we kind of said this in the first round. Like
once he gets scores, one, it's going to be
going to start coming. Yeah. So
he looked outstanding. Yanni Gourde was phenomenal.
Before we go into Yanni Gourde, Gordie Howe, the diving play.
Yes.
Diamond Joe, one of our Twitter followers, he was like, I knew I recognized that. we'll retweet it so you guys can see it if you want to go to Game Misconduct. That's Game Miz with a Z Conduct on Twitter to see that. But yeah, Blake Coleman and then Yanni Gourde, like that line.
Mm-hmm.
Still firing all cylinders. It makes me so happy to see it. And mm-hmm. Vasi had I thought, you know, what are you going to do when you got a guy sitting right at the edge of the goal mouth twice? And then the one where it kind of just trickled in, you know, I don't know what you do on that. I can't blame the guy for that, but, mm-hmm. We've got a series now.
Yeah.
And I think, look, you can never count Boston out, but I think that just showed if you stick with the game plan and you are patient and you don't sacrifice your defense for offense and you just keep shooting pucks at the net, just put them towards there. They're not going to be pretty goals in the playoffs because Kucherov is being double, triple teamed. They're going to be dirty goals where they're diving for the puck like Blake Coleman. And it's that little extra that we can dig up and win battles in the corner. And I mean, the overtime, I was like, is Boston ever going to get the puck? I was I felt like they came out of out of the gate in that overtime. They're like, we're ending this now.
Dave Mishkin did some quick math on the post game with Phil.
Oh, I love quick math.
And what he came up with was 12 opportunities for the Lightning in the overtime.
Right, which was only like 6 minutes,
long. One shot for Boston.
That's the way you come out to win a game.
Yeah.
Yes.
They dominated that game. They really dominated that game. I think the Cirelli line, oh, man.
Yeah.
So impressive. Because, listen, I don't like saying it. You don't like hearing it. The Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak is the best line in hockey.
Dangerous.
It is what it is.
They're amazing players.
Sertorelli is doing, that line is really, really doing a great job. So, also, shout out to Braden Coburn. Hasn't played since March. What a game.
I didn't even realize that. Yeah, what Ryan McDonough game. Out and Luke Shen was in.
Yeah.
Bogosian going end to end.
And also, his pass to Coleman was a diving pass.
Yeah.
So if you look, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like diving shot, diving pass. But yeah, so it'll be interesting
to
see.
That's just determination. That's just like, we're going to sacrifice anything we can to get a goal here. So
yeah. And I'm interested to see. I don't know if it's been said. Maybe it has. The game was late and it's early already this morning.
I know.
I don't know what McDonough is. If they're giving, if he's going to play tonight, or I don't know if it's been said. I listened to a podcast. It was Eric Erlandson said, I think he probably did it 3 a.m. And he didn't sound like he didn't know anything. So it's possible that we have 7 defensemen, 11 forwards again.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah. It worked. I mean, just the calmness, I think, on our bench and the determination of, yeah, when we step on the ice, we're going to score a goal. Like that just mindset. It's not, oh, we hope we score a goal. It's no. We're going to come out in an overtime and we're going to score the next goal and win the game. Like that's just the kind of confidence I see from this team. And we've said it other seasons too. You're going to win games when your third and fourth line can score. Mm-hmm. It's not your top two lines because they've got defensive pairings that can pair up against those and really shut them down. It's your third and fourth line, and that's what we're seeing. They're the ones scoring these big goals. And like you said, Andre Palat, you were so happy. It's his first overtime goal in a playoff.
And the thing about Palat is, and this is not I'm going to keep this very short because I think I've said it for 6 seasons now. He's not a scorer. That's not what he does. He's a creator.
He dishes up.
Yeah. You know who he's? It's very similar to Ryan Callahan.
Yep.
He's going to produce opportunities for other guys. That's what he does. I mean, it's very Callahan-like.
Yeah.
So for him to, get it, I mean, I honestly thought it was Pat Maroon's goal. I was like, oh, Patty's going to get this one. And then, Palat taps it in. Pat's face was amazing.
Oh, I know.
They were so happy.
It was almost like it was they played 5 overtimes. But that was, I think they understood the importance of that game. Mm-hmm. And looking at the faces of Boston, I think they thought they had that game in the bag because they were getting all the lucky bounces and everything.
All of them.
But, I mean, that just, I really hope that was kind of a dagger in their side and we can just keep stabbing them. And, less violent, but,
It's not a thing really in this day and age in the NHL to have your goalie go back to back, but they probably have to because the only other goalie they have
played
ever.
Well, since they've been in the bubble.
No, he's never played an NHL game.
Wait, McElhinney.
No. For the Lightning, I'm talking about Boston.
Oh, for Boston. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has never played an NHL game.
Oh yeah.
I think he's like from Providence, Portsmouth, one of those
Yeah, because Chuka left
right,
the bubble.
Right, because Tuchel left the bubble. So this is the only guy they have. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, and we won't know, because now Boston's the home ice. They get the last look.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I think it was the other way around. Maybe, they kind of set those things, you know, so the goalies can get their heads right together.
I don't know. I think you just go with the hot. I think it's playoffs. You just go with the hot hand.
It gets real dangerous, though, if you have to have Vasilevskiy go back to back two times in the same series. So I don't know what they're going to do.
It does.
To keep your eye on.
Yeah. Speaking of Andrei Vasilevskiy, he improved to 22-18 in 43 career postseason appearances, and he moved past Nikolai Habibulin, the Wall, and Ben Bishop for sole possession of the most in franchise history. So, congratulations to Andre. You know, and they keep saying these numbers, like they played this many playoff games and mm-hmm. this many wins in the playoffs. And I'm like, it don't matter. Mm-hmm. They have not won the Chalice, the Stanley Cup. And so I'm like, can we stop talking about how they played the most games in the playoffs or won the most games? Because, you know, it really hasn't paid off to where they've wanted it. So I don't know. I just see a different calmness, a different maturity in this team, I think maybe. Mm-hmm. Cause you gotta be mature and really kind of be locked in to deal with all that crap that happened in that game.
Yeah.
You know, they're, you know, coming at them.
Mm-hmm.
And Cooper called it a sandwich that didn't taste very well, but very good. Basically, we all know what he was talking about. And they just kind of had to get through it, and they did. Mm-hmm. Huge confidence boost for them. I'm really hoping it deflates the ego of Boston and we can just steamroll them the rest of the series. But you just never know with Boston, you know, they've got that best line in hockey. So we just have to wait and see, but I think it's going to get interesting for sure. So game time, 8:00 tonight,
mm-hmm.
I think on NBCSN. Ooh.
I think so. I watch it on the app, so.
Mm. Yeah, just check your local listings. And but yeah, so I didn't realize the game was it 7 last night? And I missed like the first 20 minutes.
Me too. No, I missed the first like 5 minutes. I was like, what time is this game? I was like, 8:00, 7:30. My son's like, no, it's on now. I'm like, oh my God, we got to, like, we had like an errand. So I'm like, oh, uh-huh. we got to go.
I know.
I just listened to the great Phil Esposito.
And Dave Mishkin, man.
And Dave Mishkin, who, it's always funny if you guys listen, you always know Phil's in his feelings when he calls Mishkin David.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so 8:00 tonight, NBCSN. Check your local listings for more information on that. And I've really enjoyed the morning skate pre-show on Fox Sports Sun. That's usually at 11:30 on game days. And then they do a post game on Fox Sports Sun right after the game ends. Even if it's on NBCSN, which mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed. And then our friend Dan Lucas, the game one, he did a Lightning post game with, I think, Brian Bradley from Amalie Arena. I'm not sure if they're doing that every night, but if you want another local take from our buddy Dan Lucas, you know, keep checking on that for Channel 8. But Lightning hockey full swing for sure. So let's get some rest, do our pregame rituals, and get ready for another game tonight at 8:00. Game 3, Boston Lightning in the bubble. And if you missed it, you can check out our interview yesterday. We posted a podcast with assistant athletic trainer Mike Poirier live from the bubble. We got his take on what it was like. If you saw our tease on Facebook, Dory's mind, like her face, like it's just epic when we're talking about some things. And so I found it very interesting. So if you're wondering what life in the bubble is like, check that out. And also subscribe to our podcast so you never miss one, because that was a special edition. And leave us a review. Let us know what you think. All right. GameMisconduct.com for any past episodes. And we will catch you next time, which will be tomorrow after game 3.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.